All right, we have a special episode of This Is Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch Brad is here. Bert is camping. So Stuart is sitting in for him.
Hello.
And we have the man of the hour, the Tower of Power, the special announcement of the day. They have released Preki, and they have gone on to Anthony Pulis. Am I pronouncing it right?
That is correct.
There he is. So.
And we will resist the urge to say Tony Pulis.
Please do.
Which, I mean, the life of a coach. You get a job today, and unfortunately, some bad news for Dad today.
Yeah, it's strange how things work out like that.
You going to bring him into shag balls for you down here?
That did get mentioned this morning on the phone if I needed a new assistant. So we'll have to see what happens in the meantime.
Well, he needs some stuff on his CV.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
Speaking of CVs, you have quite the CV around here. Man, extremely familiar with the league. I mean, played for Orlando City.
Won a championship with Orlando City.
Not just, yeah. And then became player coach. Then two very successful seasons, all things considered, for a B team.
Yeah, first and foremost, I've had a fantastic 6 years with Orlando. Signed in 2012, played 3 years for them in USL. We were really successful. Won a championship, won two regular seasons, and then transitioned into the coaching side and did stuff with the academy. Was an assistant coach the first year in MLS, and then obviously took the OCB job in 2016, and I've done that for 2 years. And I think we've been successful in what we've had to do and the challenges we have to face. And I feel like I'm ready for the next step now of being in charge of an independent team.
As this was getting announced and we were getting prepared and everybody was scrambling to really get your history, we started looking in depth, and it's funny, you know, Facebook and social media, immediately everybody's connected. So yeah. We're all like, okay, Anthony's coming in. And we started looking at the history with OCB, and for a B team with the incredible change, you had one of the rosters that fluctuated the most of any B team that I could tell in, you know, 24 hours of research.
Yeah.
That's got to be difficult to try to string together a successful season and get guys ready to go up to the big club.
Extremely difficult, extremely challenging, extremely frustrating. The first year, we obviously did incredibly well to make the playoffs. Second year, we actually probably had a better team. Won more games, conceded less goals, had a better record, and somehow we just missed out at the end. But it's been a fantastic experience for me taking the B team, and I've learned a lot of lessons, grown as a coach, grown as a leader. And it's just prepared me now for what was the next step in my career was to be in charge of an independent team, and I feel like one of the best jobs that was available was this, and I'm fortunate enough that I've been offered it and can't wait to get started.
And you mentioned one of the jobs available. There has been a whirlwind of
crazy
coaching changes.
Yeah.
Like nothing I've ever seen in American soccer as long as I can remember. So what brings you to St. Louis? Why? What makes us attractive, other than the amazing fans, of course?
Yeah, of course. The fans. No, seriously.
Well, and you've been here as an opposing coach, so you got to experience a little
bit. Of course. I mean, I did my research and looked up and read up on how rich the history and tradition of soccer is in St. Louis. Being here as an opposition coach and seeing how good the fans are, how passionate they are, the infrastructure in place, the stadium, the training facilities, and more importantly, the people. Obviously, I came up and met with Jim, with Tom, with Patrick and Jeremy, and met a lot of the other guys in and around the place, especially the academy staff, and had a real good feel for them as people. It honestly ticks every box.
So we mentioned some of the challenges coming from what we refer to as the MLS 2 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the decisions aren't always yours, even though you're trying to get wins, you're trying to put the best team on. You may get a last-minute notice that you've got three guys to squeeze into the roster, so it changes your game plan day to day.
I mean,
was the attraction, this is my team, I can do my own thing finally?
A large part of it, yeah. I'd be a liar if I said it wasn't. I mean, the fact that we would get players taken from our group to train with the MLS group, we'd have players given to us in the MLS group on a daily basis with very short notice, not as much time to prepare the team as what you would want, was very, very difficult, very challenging. But again, I think it's made me a better coach. It's made me adaptable. Maybe learn a lot of lessons about controlling the controllables. And to have my own group of players that I can work with on a daily basis, prepare for games, sounds like heaven to me. So I can't wait. I can't wait to get going, to be honest.
Well, and I mean, obviously, we're starting off new here. You know, you're gonna see a lot of players come in. You're gonna evaluate talent maybe we have under option and everything. But I heard a podcast that you did an interview, and you said something about, you know, at the end of the year after your first year with OCB, you let a lot of guys go that maybe had a future in USL.
Of course.
But didn't have a future in MLS, which was your, I mean, that was your directive to develop talent for the A team. Are you excited now that maybe you can take some of these guys who maybe aren't ready for MLS right now, but you can actually help build them into a quality USL player?
For sure. I mean, one of the aims, obviously, at Orlando, or the main aim with the B team, was to try and produce players for the MLS team. So if there were guys that we felt like weren't good enough at that time for the MLS, then unfortunately we had to move them on. It's going to be a completely different dynamic here. Big pool of players that are available. I've got a really good understanding of the players here at St. Louis through scouting them this year, through scouting the opposition team. So I've seen St. Louis play a number of times, so I've got a good idea of the players, and that's going to be the focus of the next few days, to be honest, is making decisions, evaluating those pieces that we've got, and then looking elsewhere to see what we can add to make this a really competitive squad for next year.
My favorite part about this is that there's karaoke going on in the room next to us, so we're hearing somebody singing terribly next to us, so this is entertaining me.
I don't want to put you on the spot. But
you're going to anyway.
No, I don't. Well, kind of.
Already.
Kind of.
Go on, fire
away. But you've got an out. I know earlier in the season, in the off season, which has just been a couple weeks, and Mitch mentioned how crazy it's been, Orlando City B sort of released some of those players.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you were their coach. Are there a couple of them that you may say, hey, there's a spot for you here? You don't have to give me names, but obviously, you know some of those guys. I mean,
there are players there that are very talented and that could improve any team in the USL. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about style of play. Your ideal style of play. Mm. Is it fair to judge you on what we saw at Orlando B, or were you kind of taking your marching orders because you're developing for a system and maybe you'll do something different here?
No, I think if you watch the OCBs for the most part, you'll be able to see what I want to try and accomplish here and produce a team that has a clear identity and a clear way of playing. I want my teams to pass the ball, to play good football, but it has to be with a purpose. I can't stand watching teams that just pass the ball for sake of passing it. I want my teams to play through the pitch quickly.
Did you hear that, listeners?
We all just shed a tear of joy.
I want our team to be energetic, enthusiastic, to play with a real good intensity, but I want us to defend properly, and this is very difficult to concentrate, by the way, with the singing that's going on next door.
I just keep laughing the whole time.
Come on, how can you be a coach if you can't deal with karaoke
No, but seriously, I want us to be able to defend properly and be really, really difficult to break down. And you'll see an organised team where everybody knows their roles and their responsibilities and a clear way of playing that hopefully leads to a successful season.
One of the things I kept coming across, and you even said it tonight, which reinforced it, you keep saying the word accountability.
Mm.
And that means so much as fans to see that come across.
Yeah, well, I'm first and foremost accountable for myself and what I put into it and the decisions that I make and the way that I work. And I've got a growth mindset. I want to improve. I want to be the best coach I can possibly be. And I expect the players to be exactly the same. I expect high standards every single day, on and off the field. And I think if we can get guys in that buy into that, I think we'll be successful.
We mentioned, you know, recently you've played in the league. Recently you've won a championship. Does that help you bridge the gap to some of these players that, you know, sometimes you say maybe it being a young coach might be a disadvantage, you know, because you don't have a lot of experience. But is it also an advantage in that you know what these guys are going through?
100% it's an advantage for me. I mean, I feel like one of my strengths is the relationships with players. And don't get me wrong, there's a fine line and there's a balance to be had because I'm not going to be their friends. But at the same time, I want to be a mentor for them, someone for them to look up to, somebody who they feel like they can talk to. And I can give them honesty every single day and I'll communicate with them. And at the end of the day, for me, and I said this to the guys when I interviewed with them, a big part of my job at OCB was developing players and helping them improve, and that's going to be exactly the same here. Just because this is an independent team doesn't mean I have their best interests. I don't have their best interests at heart. Right. I want to improve every single player we've got.
Ideally, these kids go on to bigger and better.
100%,
right.
Because I think if you can improve the individual player, effectively you're improving the team. So a lot of the work that we did at OCB will be replicated here, and it won't be any different.
And that's one of the things that we had seen in the first couple of years here when we were starting out, that we wanted to see the players go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we can get guys that have opportunities to go on and play for bigger and better teams, then it shows that we're doing a good job here. Of course, we want to keep all our best players here to help us be successful, but I'm not going to be a coach that's going to stand in the place of a player that has a better opportunity.
I couldn't agree more. Speaking a little bit about the difference in atmosphere between, you know, playing a home game at Orlando City B,
yeah,
which beautiful stadium, but the B team sometimes, you know, struggled to draw fans out. It was that an attraction?
Look at our record from last year. Have a look at our record on the road compared to our record at home, and that will kind of answer the question for you. Our road record was really, really good. Our record at home wasn't good. We drew too many games.
Players play better when there's...
Because there was nobody in the stadium. Right. It was very, very difficult. I think a lot of the opposing teams came in, saw what a fantastic arena it was, probably one of the best in the league.
Truly.
They raised their game because of how good the arena was. Our guys are like, here we go again, there's 50 people here.
Yeah.
Whereas we come to, you go to a Cincinnati, wherever it is, where there's a big crowd, St. Louis, Louisville, there's a number of teams that draw really, really good crowds, and it helps you raise your game. So I'm looking forward to seeing as many fans in Toyota Stadium as possible and make this place a fortress so that the opposition teams don't want to come and play against us.
You mentioned the L word there, the Louisville.
Yeah.
Your old buddy, old teammate, James O'Connor, he's done a remarkable job in Louisville.
No, he has. He's done a really good job. Obviously, I'm very, very good friends with James.
We're going to ruin that this year, right?
Of course we are. No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can replicate what we went there and beat them 3-0 this year. So hopefully it would be great if we could do that again.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, credit where credit's due. James has done a fantastic job. But all I'm focused on is doing a good job here now.
We love to hear that. One more thing before we let you go. We've talked about the challenge of the two teams. We've talked about, you know, style of play. But the most important thing is our buddy Matt Bird couldn't be here tonight.
Okay.
He's normally our sexy accent on the pod, but you've taken that role tonight.
All right. What kind of accent does he have?
Mank. You know.
It's not that sexy.
No. but in America, it qualifies.
Any British accent in America
is.
Yeah, that's true.
But he did want me to mention he was a Stockport County fan, and you had a brief loan stint.
My condolences to him.
But you had a brief loan stint with them.
Yeah.
And you're the pride of the organization, I'm sure.
Not so sure about that. I had a loan spell at Stockport County back in the day that was good for me at the time. Yeah.
But let's talk about that. I mean, you really have, I think as a player, you want to look up to a coach that has played the game. And,
yeah, of course.
And we mentioned you won a championship in USL, but you did spend some time in England.
Yeah, no, I've bounced around. I've been at some good clubs, some good organizations in England where I took an awful lot of things from the coaches there. I mean, Jeremy mentioned it earlier on, and that's, I've been preparing to be a coach from a really young age. I mean, from
not only do you have your A license in the United States, you got your A license in Wales.
I've got my UEFA A.
Yeah.
UEFA A license, which I took in Wales, and I've done the USSF coaching course. I've just been accepted on the pro license here, so I'm going to start that in January. So I've got all the licenses, and I've taken a lot from my experiences in England and here as well. I've been fortunate enough to be around some good coaches here in the States, and that's the kind of person I am. I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to get better, and be as successful as I possibly can, and make this team successful, and make it something that the fans are really proud of.
You know, I think you've hit all the buttons. Stuart wants to get in with a question here before we go.
Of course.
Sorry to interrupt, but
you're not interrupting. You're on the pod, Stuart.
No, you mentioned that you took stock of some of the academy coaches. Have you had a chance to kind of review some of the youth teams? And Scott Gallagher's a pretty large organization as far as range and.
Developing kids. Talent for the national stage.
Yeah, well, that again, and I touched on that earlier on when I spoke about the rich kind of history and tradition of soccer here and the players that have come out of St. Louis. That is, again, one of the biggest factors that attracted me here was the pool of talent that's in this area, how big and how successful Scott Gallagher's been. I plan next week to go down to the Academy Showcase down in Florida to watch the U-17s, the U-19s, to get a real good feel for the player, the level. I've already had discussions with Blake Decker and Kevin Kalish. Know about Aidan Stanley, know about Jack Mayer. So looking forward to seeing what talent's down there. And I've said this all along. I said it in the interview process. If there's players within our academy system that are good enough and they deserve to play, I'll involve them 100%. If they're not, they won't. But age doesn't matter to me. If a 17-year-old comes and trains with the first team and deserves to be given an opportunity, he'll be given an opportunity.
You hear that, Brad? We got a chance at 42.
No, we don't. But that's good to hear. I mean, we saw Aiden a little bit last year. We know Jack. We know a couple of the guys have some talent there. But, I mean, I think it goes just back to the basics. You want to win, and whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, well,
whoever can help you, you'll.
Well, that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, if an academy player comes in and trains and does well, deserves to play, and I think will help us win a game, he'll play. If he doesn't, he won't. At the end of the day, that it's going to be about the process and making sure we take care of the details on a daily basis, and all those little details add up to the big thing, which is preparing the team to win a game at a weekend. And I'll be doing my utmost. The staff will, the players will. To make sure that we're ready for the 2018 season.
Sounds great. Anthony, it was great to meet you. Great to talk to you. And I hope to have you on the podcast in the future.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
That's our new coach. We will be back in a few with the front office.
Great.
And we're back. We're going to have a live read with our commercial here. We have our podcast sponsor, Mark Gardner with Hero Electric.
Our one and only
podcast sponsor.
How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
Oh, fantastic.
Say I got some wiring to do at my house. What would be my first step?
I know what the first step is. You call your electric.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand in a bucket of water. I'm going to call my friend Mark.
Well, you can call me at 314-814-3897.
What's that number again?
314-814-3897, or you can go to yourelectricstl.com.
And my wife's going to yell, "Hey, dumbass, call Mark," before I start, you know.
Stop touching things.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, it's even worse. My wife just says, "You know, I have an idea. Can you call Mark?" I'm like, son of a bitch, this is going to cost me money.
That's right.
Every single time.
But Mark supports the podcast. He's been the one and only supporter of the podcast for 7 years now. 7 years.
Well, technically, the podcast has only been 6 years.
Okay, 6 years.
But that counts.
But you've bought a lot of headphone adapters over the years, Mark.
You have.
You guys are making me feel old right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You are getting old, dude. I hate to tell you. You realize we're a lot older than our coach, by the way.
That's true. That's very scary.
All of us.
But that's okay, because you know what?
He's breathing new life into the club.
He didn't say anything stupid like we're going to win.
He didn't promise anything. He said we're going to do our best out there.
That's right.
So
just like your electric does their best every time they come and do work at your house.
I'll give it my all every time.
That's right.
Or your employees will.
Our next guest on the pod is Patrick Berry, the president of St. Louis Scott Gallagher and the president of St. Louis FC. Big night tonight, Pat. What are your thoughts on our new coach, Anthony Pulis?
Well, I think I'm supposed to say I like him, right?
Yeah. That would be ideal. Yeah, I mean,
correct.
You know what?
I hope that's what you're going to say.
I don't care if you like him or not. I care if you think he can get the job done.
Clearly, yes. No, tonight's great. It's been a rough year.
I love watching Pat search for
words.
But
there's no way to beat around it. I mean, it did not go as planned. Let's say that.
It didn't. And look, I think the process was really healthy. Honestly, at the end of the year, we all sat down and talked, and I don't think it worked for our former coach. It didn't work for us, clearly. And he's going to move on and find something else. And we obviously did the same. But Anthony blew us away in the process. And I'm really, really excited about what he's going to bring. I think the game is changing, and it's the younger coaches and the guys who can connect with the players are hard to find, and we were very fortunate to get him.
And this is a guy, not only does he have USL experience as a player and a coach, but specifically the Eastern Conference. I say that as, even though we don't know for sure we'll still be in the Eastern Conference, because as once again, U.S. soccer is in a state of turmoil with what's going on with NASL, but as of right now, we're still in the Eastern Conference.
What time is it?
Yeah. we'll maybe talk about that. How does it affect you guys building a team? Because even though, you know, players are players, the conferences are a little different. So does it affect your choice of personnel trying to decide what conference we're in?
It definitely affects the player choice. I would say from a coaching standpoint, It didn't really affect. We wanted to find the best person, the person that could fit with our club and was going to grow with us into the future. The player choice, it definitely affects. And it's been frustrating for us.
I mean, we really are right in the center of the line, so we're the only team that makes sense to be in that, you know, jeopardy position of flipping back and forth. But it does affect you guys.
It's been really, really difficult. And, look, there's no one to blame. Like you said, it's geography, right? We're right in the middle. There's probably a decent chance we're moving again, to be honest. But at least we know now, and it's early. We have a really good coach. He's going to work well with Jeremy. They're going to put together a really good team. But at least now we know. So if we are going to be in the West, They can start to build a team. By the way, that's our fourth conference in 4 years.
How excited are you for 2019 when the rumored Central Conference takes over? Like, we're pretty secure that we will be in the Central Conference.
I think you
right?
just broke Stuart.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hi.
Stuart's a silent member of the podcast, but he's still fucking it up.
let me preface this comment with Jake Edwards and I have a very good relationship.
Okay.
I think the world of the job he does.
But that's fraying,
but
right?
Holy shit. Four conferences in 4 years.
When you see his name pop up on caller ID, do you get a little twitchy?
No, and again, it's nobody's fault. I mean, if that plays out in 19, right. that'll be five conferences in 5 years.
That's right.
No, seriously, I can't think of any other sport in the United States, any other team in any sport that has had to go through this.
Seriously, no. We will have lost in every conference.
Sorry, Pat. You broke Mark now.
We have a chance broken. In the Central.
We
have
Central
a chance
could be
in
our,
the Central.
That could be our niche.
I'm glad we can laugh about this.
We have to laugh.
It's only my livelihood. But no,
Anthony's going to change all that.
I'm not even going to say anything to that because I think we've said that before. But all I can say is he's a great guy, quality individual, and we have a ton of faith on the technical side.
All right. And I think, you know, exciting to think about. We've mentioned this a couple times. Maybe having a coach that's hungry to prove himself and to make his mark in this league, that could be the key to this whole thing.
It is. Jeremy and I talked a lot about it. There was an appeal to us to find a coach who was going to grow with us. And we talked to guys who could have been with us for 1 year and then moved on to MLS. We talked to guys who could have been with us a short amount of time and moved on to a different opportunity. We wanted somebody who had a tremendous amount of talent, which he does, but who is still, like you said, proving himself, and he's building his body of work. And, look, at some point he may move on and leave us, but I don't think that's in 1 or 2 years. At least I don't think so. We've signed him for longer than that. And, you know, I'm excited to have somebody who's really just fresh out of the game, who can connect with players, and I think is going to understand what it takes to be successful in this league because he was just in it.
If he leaves, it's because we won titles. That's the way I hope.
Usually that's it, right? And so we have a ton of confidence this guy is going to do well. But most importantly, I think he understands what the city's all about. I think he's all about hard work and the mentality of it. And that's what St. Louis people respond to. We all do. And so I think he's going to be a great fit here.
Yeah, and he talked about in the press conference about building a culture from the top down in the organization. So kind of on what you just said.
It reiterates everything that they've said since day one, really. Good job, Stuart. We're proud of you.
No, but he's already said.
I'm getting there.
He's already said he wants to incorporate the academy kids if they're ready. I mean, he's taken a full view of the program we have here.
What I really liked about our conversations with him early on, he does appreciate the academy side, and we want to create those opportunities for young players. But he was anxious to be in an environment where winning mattered and where we are here to win. And if we can develop academy players, we hope to do that, and we plan to do that. He was in an environment where maybe winning wasn't the most important. And so it came out of every fiber of his being when he was here to say, I want a club that wants to win.
Well, and this is his chance to really put his mark on an organization rather than maybe develop kids for the first team or implement, you know, Jason Christ's plan. This is his shot. It's all on him now, and he's anticipating that challenge. He's eager for that challenge.
He definitely is, and any of us could put ourselves in that role. It's hard to do the work for somebody else, right? It's just not easy, and it takes a special kind of coach to do that. And I think he did it. He learned from it, and now he's ready to come here, and he wants to build a team that's designed to win, and we hope that's obviously very, very soon. And
That'd be a welcome change, right, Pat?
I can tell you there's a lot of people around me that would love for us to win because life would be easier, and Jeremy's no different than I am, but –
I think there's a lot of wives that would be happy with us on Sundays if we started winning.
Yeah.
I can tell you that on the drive home, I was out of town this weekend, and things were working out in our favor here. No one was happier than my wife.
There you go. And that is the most important thing to a successful life.
Happy wife.
All right. Thanks, Pat, for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
We're going to get Tom and we're going to get Jeremy on, but congratulations. I think you got a great guy, and you know, if it doesn't work out, we'll let you know about it in June.
I'm certain we'll hear about it, and I can't wait for the season to start.
Seriously, but you've gotten enough DMs from Brad. You'll hear about it. Like,
I enjoy everyone.
I'm sure.
You're a
they
terrible
usually make
liar.
Me laugh.
Yeah, the shitter's full. Let's fix that, Pat.
Oh, God.
Thanks for joining us, Pat.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just going to go sleep in his office.
Tom's office is just right across the street.
That's right.
Because we have Tom Strunk with us, everybody. Tom Strunk, man who saved my bacon because he brought me the adapter for my laptop.
Happy to help.
Yeah, this podcast brought to you by Your Electric and Tom Strunk.
they shared a fist bump. Because in all my brilliance with the new laptop, I forgot an adapter. Tom, with his office not 50 yards away, said, I got this.
Ran to my car. Big one in my bag.
Big night for the club, Tom.
I'm super excited, Brad. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, talk about maybe why Anthony was the right choice tonight.
Yeah, I was just telling some of the supporters that are over there talking to Anthony right now. There were a couple key moments during the interview process that stuck out for me. One of the questions, the first moment before I get to the question that really sealed it for me, was Anthony's preparation. He watched, I mean, think about this, he's coaching a team, okay? The season ends, he's got a couple days, and we're bringing him up under the cover of darkness as we're trying to figure out our other situation
right.
and manage through all that. And I start asking him about our team and players. And he is rattling off thoughts, opinions, and very, not strong like in a negative way, but very firm opinions on our team as if he's been coaching them for a decade. And I'm like, Anthony, how did you have time to watch all this?
Right.
He's like, oh, well, you know, throughout the course of scouting throughout the year, I saw the team play. So you have a certain bit of knowledge just preparing for play. He goes, but then I watched 10 or 12 games over the last day in order to, which is impossible.
That puts Bird to shame.
I know, exactly. But, I mean, the amount of preparation that Anthony put in to the interview told me a lot about the type of character and person we have. He wanted us as much as we eventually learned to want him. And I think that's one of the reasons.
Too bad that doesn't work for your wife,
he's
huh?
He's here.
Jesus.
I was talking to you, Brad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. My wife doesn't want
Thank
me at
you.
All.
Secondly, my other question to him that just sticks out is, you know, Anthony, how is St. Louis FC as an organization perceived in the USL community and from you personally? His answer, like, still gives me shivers in a negative way, and I'll turn this into a positive. Underwhelming, underperforming. And I'm like,
yeah.
Ouch.
But it's accurate.
I know. No, Mitch and Brad and Stu, you guys know my joke was, we're right here.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
yeah.
And he goes, well, let me put it into context. He goes, look at the, by the way, this bad karaoke behind
me. Oh, right, it's so right. fantastic,
it's so bad,
isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, my gosh, is it terrible. Anyway, what was so impressed me about Anthony's
Wait, hold on. They're singing I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh.
It sounds
well,
like
no, they're not singing
they're
it.
They're not
yeah.
singing it. Yeah. Those are screeching
it's
cats.
It's being torn from
those
their
are
bodies.
Screeching cats
right.
trying to sing it. Anyway, what impressed me the most was the context of his answer. And he said, let me explain underwhelming, underperforming. He goes, look at the assets you guys have. Look at the history of the club itself. Look at the youth infrastructure supporting it. Look at the commitment of ownership. And most importantly, look at the supporters and the stadium and the environment that you guys create. It's second to none in the USL. This should be a winning organization, and that's what I think I can help build. And so the combination of his preparation, he wanted us as much as we learned to want him. And
his brutal honesty. I mean,
is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's when he became my number one choice as well.
And he wants to be the guy that does that. He wants to bring it to us.
He absolutely does. You know, he's coming from a MLS2 environment
right.
and another big draw for us here in St. Louis, in addition to things I mentioned, is the ability to come make a difference at an independent club and make a mark and be here for a while. And that's what we wanted. You know, it's no secret. We started with a homegrown guy in Dale, and we all love Dale and we appreciate what he brought. We bet big with Preki, and for many reasons that did not work out. and we wish him luck, but we're moving on. And, you know, our bet's on Anthony right now. And,
Anthony's got a quiet confidence about him that it was funny.
It's not cocky. It's confident.
Everything I read, everybody's like, man, he's going to be a shining star. You read the conversations on Reddit. Stewart was on it the other day, too, as well.
Always.
Where they were just like, man, this guy is going to be the next guy coming out of USL. But everybody just said it, and until we got to talk to him tonight, it was like, oh, my God, there is a quiet confidence in him that just says, I am going to be successful for the right reasons. You can't you want to see that. It's not cockiness. It's not brashness. It's get it done.
And something I want to say to the people listening tonight, we've all dealt with coaches who say the right things on the mic and everything. I met Anthony 10 minutes before he went out to do the official unveiling. And, I mean, within 5 minutes, we're talking soccer. It's not, you know, his job. It's his life. And he's telling, you know, apropos to nothing, we start talking about players. We start talking about formations. We start talking about things he wants to implement. So it's not like he's just turning it on and off for the cameras. This is his life. This is what he does.
Absolutely.
And he's doing it right now. He's over in the corner talking to fans that, like, I wouldn't spend 10 minutes talking to Karen, but he is. I mean, she's wearing Liverpool pants, for the love of God.
It was great because when they came up, James started asking them questions like he was still being interviewed.
Right. But they gave you the okay, but we need to approve of this first.
It's like the dad with the daughter dating. You know, it's like, you know, she may have approved of you, but we haven't approved of you yet.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. I think Anthony gets it.
Yeah.
He knows how important our supporters are and that culture is to what we're doing. And I told...
And he looks comfortable in the environment.
Does. And I actually told those guys...
He has a beer in hand, that helps.
The same two anecdotes that I told you guys just here with your first question, Brad. And I said, hey, I want you guys to know why and the type of person we hired. Yeah. And not we believe we hired.
Right.
We did hire.
Right.
That's how confident I am in this.
Well, Tom, I mean, we're just as enthusiastic as you. Obviously, we have reserved levels of optimism.
Keep holding us accountable.
But
that's what we need.
But I think this is a good step in the life of the organization, in the life of the club, and hopefully it'll all work out.
I'm just choosing to pretend last year didn't happen.
Yeah, it's a blip.
I'm just saying we went from Dale to this guy. That's my attitude.
Yep.
Last year didn't happen.
Yeah, and I'll... if you'll indulge me, I'll give you 30 seconds. And I think you guys will appreciate this. Preki 101 is an immensely likable and interesting individual.
We'd have no idea.
I know. I know, and that's the shame of it. I wish he could have just...
Right.
And I'm not talking about meeting halfway.
Right.
I'm talking about coming...
Bridge the gap a little bit.
Exactly, Brad. But we wish him luck, and I saw your writing, or your posting, and... There's no doubt he's got the pedigree. He's probably going to go win somewhere.
The game has not passed the man by. It just didn't work here for whatever reason.
Agreed.
So,
all right.
Tom, thanks for joining us.
Guys, thanks as always. We appreciate everyone coming out. Thanks for what you guys do for us.
Thanks for what you do for us.
Yeah.
I mean, getting an adapter, buying beers, getting a new coach.
Yep.
You make it happen for us, Tom.
Well,
all right.
Yep, we appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Tell Jim thanks.
Oh, for sure. Bye now.
I'm kind of thinking that we bring the new gaffer back on for the silly questions.
Nah.
Yeah, no, we're doing it. Shut up.
No. It's already 8 o'clock.
Doesn't matter. I'm recording.
All right. Hey.
We just proved that Brad is the wet blanket on all the fun.
That's true. We're back. Jeremy Allenbaugh is joining us now. Jeremy, big night for the club. Big night for you. I think I don't know if you read my piece this week about Preki leaving necessarily wasn't about the wins and losses. It was about the right fit. Tell us why Anthony Pulis is the right fit for St. Louis FC.
Hard-hitting questions right away.
Yeah. No, this should be easy.
Should be easy. Yeah, we've already talked about it. No, I just think, you know, it's a cultural fit, you know, for not just a club and our fans and supporters, but also for St. Louis and you know, how we respond and what we value. And I think, you know, as I said tonight, when you go through a lot of ups and downs and, you know, you want a sense of consistency. And I think, you know, the preparedness that he came in his interview, how thorough he was, and knowing our roster, knowing the league roster, where the league is going, there's a sense of you know, really, you know, just looking at all the details and taking care of all the details. And it was just, you know, we sat in a boardroom with him and Jim and Tom and Pat and myself, and it was easy. It was conversation. It wasn't questions. And I think that, you know, that's just part of the reason why it's a good fit. And I think it's an exciting fit because we have somebody on their way up, and we have somebody that we have to help. As supporters, you guys have to help. As a staff, we have to help. As media, we have to help. We have to help bring him along in his career as a coach, and that's part of our duty. And if we do that, he's going to bring us along as a club, and that's something that we need.
How important was it to get this decision done early in the off season? I mean, I know we're very impatient fans. We want to know who's playing. You know, we wanted to know the day after the season what the future was.
But I apologize for Brad, by the way.
But really, this is early in the off season. You've made the decision now on the coach. You can start evaluating talent. Was it important to get this done early so you can build towards the 2018 season?
I think we have a sense. I do think there is a sense of momentum here. I know that sounds awkward from a team that, you know, went through what we did in the last, you know, 12 months. But there's some movement here. So, you know, I talked about in the front office, you know, some of the changes that we've made, how we're going to modernize our marketing and, you know, our ticketing and just where we're going to be and where we're going to try to go and how we're going to try to get into different parts of the community. There's some things with the community benefits agreement from the MLS stadium thing that didn't happen that we're going to be able to enact in 2018 through some of these changes. So I think it was important for us to get this going, get this next step, because I think there is a lot of, you know, a lot of things coming for sure.
We've seen already the social media person, Nicole's been hired. She's been doing a good job. You are making some changes, and as tempting as it is to be as fans, you know, nothing's happening. There really is a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, just, you know, today, you know, sitting down with Ant and
yeah,
going
we hired a new coach. Yeah, I don't know if you heard.
Going through rosters and looking at players, there's a lot of movement. But just even on all the other stuff that matters. So how we travel, where things are in the league, some of the personnel that we brought in on the front office side, tracking our academy players. Our academy players are more active than ever in tracking them. So there's a lot of things going on. While some of it may not be sexy or glamorous in the public, still a lot of moving parts that we're taking care of.
Speaking of travel, Pat kind of grimaced and said we're still not sure which conference we're going to be in. You know, obviously things are still up in the air. We've still got the NASL situation to play out. But are you anticipating an Eastern or Western, or is it still too early to even guess?
It's still too early. You know, if only Division II soccer could get some stability to it.
Right.
You know, only if there was a league that
– We do know we're getting North Carolina from NASL.
Correct.
We're adding Nashville this season. And on the Western side – oh, and Atlanta is going to start their MLS 2 team in Atlanta. On the Western side, we got Fresno, and we've got – Las Vegas.
I mean, sorry.
So right now we could be staying east, but we're on that bubble just because of where we are on the map.
Yeah, and every year St. Louis is, you know, anytime there's any addition to any league, they're always in that bubble, whether it was back.
How does it hurt you as a GM?
It doesn't, because I think now, you know, we've been in the east recently. We're in the West pretty recently, so we have a good idea of...
We've been everywhere recently.
Yeah, like a ping pong ball to go back and forth over the table. No, I don't think it hurts us, because from an operational standpoint, you know, our operations manager, our staff, they understand the flow of travel both ways now. In some ways, the West is easier because bigger hubs. It's easier to get direct flights in some of those areas. Now, the time difference, you know, tweaks that out maybe from a travel standpoint with players. But it doesn't... You know, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I think from a playing style standpoint, you know, look, if we were really worried about it and we thought we were going to the West, maybe we should have hired somebody from the Western Conference, you know, that been familiar with it. But we're not, you know, because we know it, and Anthony knows it very well. He spent a lot of time looking at players on both sides.
How much are you looking forward to a potential Central Conference in 2019?
Very much. I think, you know, it's going to honestly – that's probably going to be the most impactful thing that the league has done since the MLS affiliation.
Yeah.
That brought tremendous growth.
I think it'll be amazing for the fans. Correct. Just from a traveling perspective.
That's where I'm going. I think we're truly going to see the growth and the development and the change when the games are more regionalized and we can have even a greater fan influence. Because look, there's still some teams, clubs in our league that haven't had away fans in bulk like we have,
right,
go to an away game and to feel that. Whether you win, lose, or draw, you feel that support, and it means something. And there's teams that haven't had that. So that'll be a game changer for this league.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're allowing the rest of us to talk now, Brad?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I can keep going. But
I know you can. No, I didn't. And I'm glad you brought that on, because the away aspect is one of the big things that I think kind of gets lost in the Western Conference a little bit. We have Tulsa, we have Oklahoma, we have Kansas City somewhat, but they're kind of assholes, so it doesn't really count. You know, we don't get the travel in the West as we do as the East, but having a Central, the rivalries will be just ridiculous, because you just basically, we're not going to be home. We're just flat out, we're going to travel a lot.
If some of those clubs can get out of baseball stadiums and Thursday night games, that will even help more, right?
Yeah, does Anthony know that we have a lot of the?
Yeah, we went through it today. Yeah. We looked at each conference and wrote out everybody's, you know, home surface. Is it turf? Is it grass in the East? And then did the same thing in the West. So,
or in Louisville, both.
Well, this past couple seasons, for the final.
When he brought a list of potential players, you did bring a second baseman, a shortstop. You know, is that on his list?
No.
But so that actually leads me to where I was going to head with this, is that as you're building the team, you know, guys coming back, guys that he could possibly bring, you know, are you looking at a significant turnover? Obviously, we're not going to see the turnover from last year where we only brought three people, but I imagine that with the changes in coaching that we're going to see some significant turnover.
Even if we had the same coach, even if Preki was back, there would be significant turnover.
Right.
So I don't think it's any different than what would have been. There's going to be some guys back and some guys that aren't. And I think part of that is because of, A, the way some of the contracts were structured in 2017. So we have a lot of guys that are either out of contract or, you know, on an option year.
And it's not unusual in USL.
No,
a lot of guys are on 1 or 2 year contracts or 1 year with an option.
Yep. And then you kind of throw that fact in and you bring in and, you know, a new coach and, you know, some new ideas and stuff. There's going to be some change. I think there'll be some guys back and, you know, that people will be excited about. And then it's just a matter of finding the right other pieces to come in.
So Mark Register will get to train with the team this time?
We'll see where we head with all that.
Personally, obviously, you're very invested in this club, but, you know, we can't deny we've had three underwhelming seasons. How important was it for you to make this choice, and not just for this season, but looking towards the future? Obviously, you want to win right now, but we talked about it a little bit. This isn't a stepping stone club. You want somebody who this is their ideal destination. Did that factor into your decision? Because you brought in other candidates. This wasn't the only person you interviewed. You know, how much did it affect that decision? Somebody who wanted to be here.
Oh, yeah. Very much. Very much someone that wanted to be here, someone that sees the value of our club top to bottom, someone that understands our club top to bottom. Now, our structure is so unique in how we're set up. We're different than anybody else in the United States. Even an MLS team that has a PDL, that has a USL, that has an academy, doesn't have 4,700 youth players that are very important to them and very important to of what we do on a daily basis. Doesn't run tournaments that we run in order to make improvements to the soccer park. Doesn't have, you know, 50-some full-time people on the youth side between operations and business and maintenance and youth coaches, and then you throw on, that's not even including St. Louis FC, and you throw them on top. So somebody that understands that and values it. So obviously with Ant's background, understanding what a true club looks like, and a true club isn't a first team and four academy teams. A true club is something that influences a lot of families, a lot of fans, and a lot of people in different ways. And he understands that. So he knows that, look, St. Louis FC is, you know, one of the most important pieces. It's the most public piece. And it has to get it right, and it has to win, because so much else of just even look at our merged academy, look at our 19s, you know, they're on a roll. I mean, they're doing really, really well as we've merged the two academies. And, you know, the 15s are doing really well, and the 17s have been a little bit of a struggle, but so many other things we do. And then go to the girls' side with Petch and those guys, and they're absolutely killing it on the ECNL side. So we have to get this right. But in order to get it right, you have to have somebody that understands all of those other things are here as well, and they matter. And they matter to us. And while it's not the public eye, nobody,
right,
5,000 people aren't coming to watch our U11 boys team play a game. We get that. But they have to understand where it fits in. And then how do, you know, he met with our entire staff today. And he said, look, our players are going to understand your roles, your responsibilities, and how important you are to us having success. And we hope to take the field with pride for our fans and supporters, but we're going to take the field with pride and represent you guys as a backroom staff, as a club staff, very well. So that was an influential piece of our decision. But bigger than that is just, you know, where he's going.
Have you let Petch know that he didn't get the job?
Yeah,
yet?
I was going to say,
still
you mentioned Petch
I still
there.
Don't, he's, I see him. He's kind of hanging out down there. It's a little awkward.
I mean,
think he's
literally
for the announcement.
A minute before the announcement, he still thought he was getting the job.
He had a speech in his pocket, he told us. just saying.
So if you run into him, might want to, you know, break
You
it.
Might want to actually try to go out the back door.
It'll make tomorrow a little awkward, but, you know, he'll be okay.
he's got the youth side to fall back on. There's always a plan B.
That's right. That's right.
Love you, Patch.
No, but tonight I think great night for the club. I think again, as fans, we're going to be a little jaded. We're going to be a little, you know, reserved in our optimism just because we've gotten our hopes up before. But spending time with Anthony tonight, I think he is the kind of guy who will be able to make a connection with the fans. Will be able to make a connection with the young players, obviously, being, you know, so young himself and directly out of the league as both a player and a coach. I think it's a home run for the club tonight.
Yeah, no, it feels like it. It really does. And it felt like that from the get-go when he first, you know, landed in St. Louis. We had a chance to spend a lot of time with him. And then since then, to be honest, we've gone through the process. So exciting. Just can't be, you know, more ready for things to get going. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of pieces. Maybe some interesting things along the way as we put everything together, as there always is in any off season, regardless if it's a new coach, a returning coach. You know, a lot of pieces to be, you know, put together. But, you know, that's exciting. And, you know, I think, yeah, look, we all need to be optimistic, but, you know, in a cautious sense, as you said. And just as he said tonight, it's about the process. It's about being prepared on a daily basis. It's about being prepared going into a film session. It's about being prepared going into a practice and how we go about things. And I think that level of detail and that level of intensity to how important things are, you know, in this community is really why we feel we have a good fit.
Anything else, Mitch?
I'm Stewie.
Stewie?
So you're saying he has to get after it.
Yeah, there it is.
I did notice he did mention at the end of the day a couple of times.
Yeah.
So he's our kind of guy.
Yeah. Well,
if he had said at the end of the day we have to get after it.
Yeah.
Then you would notice a fix, though.
Right.
Because that would have been obvious.
It would have been too obvious. It would
have been like pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You don't think they bring those signs from home, do you?
But seriously, I mean, we've been here all night. He's still talking to fans. He's still talking to, you know, this is a guy that wants to interact with the fans. He's happy to be here, and I think eager to prove that he's ready for that next level.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's, like I said, at the end of the year, everybody evaluates kind of where they are. They reevaluate everything. He reevaluated where he was and what his
Tom
goals
said
and
he even came in and evaluated where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't as flattering a picture as we hoped.
No,
but,
it was good.
That's why we need that.
Yep. It was good, and we did the same, and, you know, obviously Preki did the same himself, and that's why we're here tonight, and, you know, just really can't wait to get things going. Got to give a shout out to Bird. Sorry you're not here. Hope the stars are shining bright and the camper is running efficiently.
as long as Ewan has his Pringles.
Pringles. He's got to have Pringles on
wow,
his camping
trip. That's a staple
trips.
When you can't go camping.
That's
no
right.
Question.
Especially for Ewan. Like, if he's in the camper van, he's got to have Pringles.
I'm going to get in the camper van and have some Pringles, Dad.
I like the kid even more now. That's a big one.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Jeremy, for joining us.
Thank you, guys, as always.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited about our new coach, Mitch.
We're going to – actually, we forgot to ask him a very important question. So
we're going to have
bring
him back
on
for one
like
second?
30 seconds.
All right.
So we're going to get him, and we'll bring him right back.
All right.
Okay, so we brought him back because we had to ask Anthony one quick silly question. So what's the plan? When are you moving to town? Are you bringing the whole family?
So initially I will be coming on my own, but once we sell our house in Orlando and we find a place here, then my wife and two young children will be moving over.
So will you be in town on January 6th?
Possibly.
So,
I don't know yet.
So there is a yearly tradition that we have as Luligans here.
This is a good point.
That we have one thing that you need to understand about the Luligans as a whole coming into this is that Tom and Jim have set us up really reiterating the fact that we try to be charitable.
Okay.
This past year, under Brad and Sarah's excellent guidance, we raised how much during the season?
$20,000 for local charities.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Very good.
It's very important to us. And every year at the first weekend of the year, we have a charity soccer game. It's the Luligans versus our local chapter of the American Outlaws.
Okay.
Where we have a food drive. We're going to need a player.
Yeah.
And
you want me to be the player?
I think you need to suit up for the Lulligans.
I mean, last year we had Tom, but he's garbage. I mean, obviously. I mean, I know he's writing your checks, but I mean, he was an indoor player that didn't even see the field. He never got a number even.
Yeah, he didn't even get a number.
You are a legitimate professional soccer player.
So
I would love to, but we'll have to see what my schedule allows.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in town, the offer stands to
join us.
Is this
like a proper 90-minute game?
This is like a lot of old, fat people like myself running around.
We're drinking a lot during this.
I swear to God, you won't have to break a sweat, and you'll be the best player on the field.
There's not a question. There's a lot of alcohol involved. Right. But most
and there's a lot of raising food for our local food bank.
Okay, that's the most important thing. Yeah. So we invite you to take part in any charitable efforts that we put on this year.
Of course.
It's important to us. It's important to the team. We want to make sure that that's something we continue underneath your expert leadership here under the team.
Appreciate it.
The better the team is, the more money we can raise.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm happy to help wherever I can.
So there you go. You heard it.
He's happy to help.
He basically just said, fuck American Outlaws. I want to play for St. Lulligans.
There it is.
Sorry, guys.
So with that, we're going to end the show today. Thank you again, Anthony, for coming out.
Thank you again for having
me. We cannot thank you enough for coming here tonight, spending some time with us.
Best of luck. And
you,
and we
it.
Will turn on you. It could get very ugly. So I just want you to know you need to win some games, all right?
No pressure then.
No pressure.
Cheers.
No pressure
at all. I thought it was going so well.
Thanks, Anthony.
No, I understand.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We will talk to you guys soon and see you at the park.